The dichotomy is not only false, it is also ridiculous, because the dichotomy itself is so ill-conceived, arising from our own flawed and indeed fallen reasoning, our misguided attempts at conceptual control. The dichotomy presumes to force the privilege of accompanying others on behalf of the church to one side or the other, thinking of them as either those who are primarily recipients of what we offer or those whose own life experience and perspectives must set the agenda for encounter. That setup is mired in the consumer-provider mindset, no matter which side takes priority. In speaking about young people and the church's desire to accompany them, a commentator once caused a stir by pointingly asking, "Why are we listening to young people who really haven't experienced a lot of life, or of God, frankly?" On the basis of this thinking, young people, it would seem, are consumers of what the church provides. And hidden in this kind of accusatory question is the assumption that those who are older already possess and can supply what young people need. In response, another commentator observed that Jesus began many of his profound evangelical encounters by asking questions. This is true, but Jesus' questions often, if not always, serve to upset the commonplace thinking of his listeners, to reveal the hidden secrets of hearts, and to reset the whole encounter on a new level he himself establishes. His questions provoke an examination of conscience and demand a greater openness to his divine mission. His questions do not fit into our neat either-or dichotomies. This is what plays out here on the way to Emmaus, where Jesus' questions are actually rather humorous. Jesus is asking these travelers to tell him about what happened to him over the past 3 days. And yet, he does ask, and he does listen, and it matters that they speak. He wants to know what they are discussing as they walk along. What they have to say, and how they tell things matter to him. And, we may assume, for them in the long run. After listening, Jesus then gets to work and overturns the whole dialogue as he cures them of what ails them, filling them with the food he alone can give, and setting them free to proclaim the good news. This would seem to be the better, more gospel-like approach to all efforts of evangelization, where no one is ever just an evangelizer, but is always in the midst of being evangelized. The generosity of listening to others is itself part of the divine way, just as the sometimes direct, sometimes patient, always intentional gifts of proclamation, instruction, and nourishment come forth from the Lord who draws near. In the name of Jesus, the church, and all who act as evangelizers in her name should and must ask others what they are going through. We should and must listen to what others have to say, and we should and must correct them when necessary. Teach them when necessary. Cure them when necessary. And overturn things when necessary. All those direct actions grow from the generosity of listening. No one in the church is himself or herself the Lord. Therefore, even the most mature disciples must be willing to be corrected and taught and healed through the witness of others, even those who seem the most unlikely bearers of the good news. None of us is master of the Eucharist or of divine mercy. The Lord himself walks among us, and oftentimes we do not recognize him. But if we speak and listen to one another, humbly and without suspicion, and even more, pray together in the Lord's name, then he himself will receive what we have to say and give us back what we need, which is always far more than we could have expected. What does that look like in our day-to-day lives? It looks like treating others charitably, listening to one another patiently, responding skillfully, especially when we disagree, teaching generously, and witnessing to the faith in all that we do. If we are honest, we will see that those ways are not commonly our own, so we have to intentionally practice those actions which flow from the divine way. If we want to attract others to the church, we must show them the power of charity. If we want to offer others the riches of the church from her entire tradition, then it is our responsibility to display the beauty of those riches by renewing our commitment to them, including but not limited to devotions, works of mercy, and acts of proclamation. And if those of us who are older and more experienced in the way of discipleship want to be renewed and loved ourselves, we must also allow ourselves to be surprised and, at times, transformed by what even wayward travelers bring forward. They may, in fact, know better than us, who are more experienced, how the Lord is walking with us. Lord, help me to speak to you honestly and listen to you with even greater openness.
Amen.